In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Did it feel like somebody messed up with the Bible readings for today? I mean, the Holy Gospel we heard seems an odd choice for the last Sunday of the church year. The crucifixion of Jesus seems better for Good Friday than today, right before Thanksgiving and, you know, the Christmas season. But this reading was selected by the church fathers because Good Friday is the beginning of the end. Good Friday is the lens we Christians use to see everything. Everything before that day was leading up to it. And everything after that day is flowing from it. That was the day that changed the world. That day is the center of history. When we cannot see well, we go to the eye doctor. And as we look through, you know, the machines, the doctor tries different lenses to correct your vision until we can see clearly again. You know, is number one or number two better? You know, he goes, keep back and forth, and then, yeah, this looks good. And then he tells, yeah, that, you know, it looks like you're getting older. When the church is not seeing well, she goes to Good Friday. There we see clearly again. We see how big our sin is. We see how big our Savior's love is. We see the Old Testament fulfilled. We see the last day provided for. Good Friday is the lens through it through which the church looks to see everything right. We are not nearsighted, only concerned about the here and now. And we are not farsighted, only concerned about the end. We see past, present, and future, all through the lens of Jesus' love and forgiveness. So today, on this last Sunday of the church year, we consider the end through the lens of the cross. And we consider our life leading up to the end through the lens of the cross. We do that because Jesus' death and life has something to say about our life and death. So in order for us to do that today, I want to focus your attention on just one little sentence from the gospel reading. One little sentence Jesus spoke from the cross. You have heard it before, many times, I'm sure, but maybe today you can hear it a bit differently than when we hear it on Good Friday. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Usually, when we hear that, we focus on what great love Jesus has that he could pray those words from the cross. And that's not wrong. We hear Jesus praying for the forgiveness of those who put him on the cross, those who drove the nails through his hands and feet, those who mocked him even as he prayed for them, those who would not be satisfied until they had taken his life and made sure he was pretty dead. Father, forgive them. Make this forgiveness that I'm here winning available for all of them. That was no small thing. We all know how hard forgiveness is, and for much lesser things than that. So how great and marvelous these words, and how precious for us sinners still today. But it's that second part that I want to focus on. For they know not what they do. If we look at the people who put Jesus on the cross as he said these words, certainly they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know that the hands they were driving nails through were the hands that had created all things and had even knit them together in their mother's wombs. They didn't know that the feet they had fastened to the cross were the feet that had walked in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day and would make the earth their footstool soon. They didn't know that the head they put the crown of thorns was the head of the one who knows all things. They didn't know that in this death was their life. They didn't know. But we think we know. You see, that's the problem. From Adam and Eve down to you and me today, we think we know. We think we got it. We think we know what we are doing. And so we think we know what God should be doing. Those who put Jesus on the cross thought they knew what they were doing. Getting rid of a troublemaker and a blasphemer and someone who was going to bring the wrath of Rome down on their nation. And they thought they knew what God should be doing. That if Jesus really was God, then he should jump down from the cross and save himself. And then those who believed in him, those who believed that Jesus was the very Son of God in human flesh, probably were wondering, what in the world? Does God know what he is doing? That question has often crossed the minds of God's people, because how often it seems to us as if God doesn't know what he is doing. We heard it again from the prophet Malachi today. The people of God were saying, we are doing what we are supposed to be doing, what God told us to do, mourning our sins and repenting and sacrificing, but what is it getting us? The arrogant are the ones who are blessed. Evildoers are the ones who are prospering. They are putting God to the test with their sins and evil and perversion and getting away with it. Nothing happens to them. Does God know what he is doing? Because, after all, we know what God should be doing, right? He should be prospering us. He should be blessing us, giving to us, helping us, making our lives easy and punishing them. Does God know what he's doing? Evil keeps advancing. Does God know what he's doing? I keep struggling. Does God know what he's doing? Because things don't seem to be getting any better. But maybe Jesus was right. Maybe it's we who don't know what we are doing. For how often do things turn out differently than we expected? When what we thought would be good turned out bad. When we thought, would help, actually hurt. When we thought we had everything planned out, and then everything changed. And the other way too, when what we worry about actually turned out well. The truth is, there is a lot more going on than meets the eye. God tells his people through the prophet Malachi, the day is coming. Then you will see what you do not see now. But we want to see it all now. We want God to punish evildoers now. The problem is, if he did so, what would happen to you? You who hurt. You who lie. You who lust. You who doubt and disbelieve. You who covet and take. You who hurt someone's reputation. You who don't explain everything in the kindest way. You who do not love God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul and with all your strength all the time. What would happen to you? There is a lot more going on than meets the eye. Paul told the Colossians that Jesus is the creator of all things, visible and invisible. And there is a lot more invisible in all that God is doing than you know. It's like an iceberg. The part of the iceberg you see floating on the water is only a small percentage of all that's there. Most is hidden beneath the surface. So we too do not know all that God is doing, how he's working, what he's doing in the world, in your neighbor, in you. There is more going on than meets the eye. And especially that is true of the cross. Yes, contrary to what we, the eye, can see, that man on the cross is no criminal. That man is the very Son of God, the Lamb of God, the atonement for our sins and the sins of the whole world. Though it doesn't look like, though it looks about as far as from that you can, as you can imagine. For in fact, God does know what he is doing. And the day is coming when that will be seen. Just as the prophet Malachi said, the disciples saw it 3 days after the cross when Jesus rose from the dead. The before looked bleak, the after revealed the truth and the joy. And so also for us, on the last day, it will be seen, not before. Now, in this before time, we have words, we have promises, we have faith. Then, it will be seen. But now, we say with the criminal hanging next to Jesus, remember me. Remember me in my sad state. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus does. For we know the cross that looked like defeat restores paradise. The cross that looked like defeat restores paradise. Right now, our Lord Jesus is ascended in his kingdom and ruling all things for us and for our salvation. But at the same time, this Jesus is remembering us, forgiving us, and acting for us, And as he died to the thief next to him, he's telling us too, you will be with me in paradise. When a child or as an adult is baptized, Jesus is saying, you will be with me in paradise. When you confess your sins, believe the gospel, and are absolved, Jesus is saying, you will be with me in paradise. When you come to receive the body and blood of Jesus, he's saying, you will be with me in paradise. You will be just as I am. Just as I came to be with you in your misery, so you will be with me in paradise. And just as I died your death, so you too will awaken and arise with me into paradise. To the thief on the cross, Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. That, when that today will be for you, I don't know. And how it will be for you, I don't know. Maybe it will come for you in a peaceful way. Maybe in a hard and gruesome way like that thief on the cross. But however it is for you, it will be a day of joy when you are delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption for the forgiveness of sins. And as you have Jesus now, so you have his forgiveness now. And so you have that kingdom now, even if you cannot see all that now. For in fact, God knows what he is doing. Always, always working for our good. Always working that we hear those precious words, Father, forgive them. Those were the words Jesus spoke from first to last, and the words he wants you to hear and to have from the beginning of your life to the end. So on that day, the last day, the great and final day, the one who would not come down from the cross would pull you up from the grave and say to you, welcome home, my child. Welcome to paradise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.